From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last Tuesday before a boys' soccer game between Aquinas and World of Inquiry, school number 58. All 18 players from the World of Inquiry team took a knee during the playing of the national anthem. They were following the lead set by San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who has been kneeling during the anthem to protest what he perceives to be injustice against African Americans. In particular, Kaepernick has been outspoken about police who have shot and killed African Americans. The players from World of Inquiry were not the first high school team to follow that lead. Dozens of schools have done so now in recent weeks. A number of other professional athletes have staged their own protest, either taking a knee or raising a fist during the anthem. USA women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe has also been kneeling during anthems, saying that as a white athlete, it's important to offer solidarity. Critics have said high school students don't have the life experience to understand what they're even protesting, but supporters say they're exercising their rights to peaceably protest, and that's what this country is about. So let's talk about it with the students who have chosen to join that protest. My guests come from the World of Inquiry School number 58. Let me welcome them now. In studio, we have James Way. James, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Mike Hunter is here. Mike's a soccer player. He's a student at World of Inquiry School. But Mike, I'm told you're at an even higher level of play on the field. So I know you support the guys in your school, but you're playing soccer where?
It's called the Academy. And it's just basically a club that represents Western New York or Syracuse, Buffalo, and Rochester. And there's even a player from Pennsylvania that comes up.
And you're 10 in goal?
10. I'm goaltender, yes, sir.
I hear you're a very good one, by the way.
Overrated.
And Miguel Lopez is here, also a soccer player, merely at World of Inquiry School. Yeah. I didn't demote you guys. I'm just talking Mike up here. But thank you for being here as well, Miguel.
No problem.
His father is Michael Lopez. And Michael, I appreciate you taking the time to join us as well here.
Greetings.
I'll start with you on this, Michael, because there are some people who think it is unfair to even bring in teenagers to this conversation. I mean, you guys are 17, 18? How old are you guys?
17.
17?
17.
Oh, you're all 17 years old. Okay. So, Michael, there's some people who think, you know, talk to the adults. I heard a football coach last weekend being interviewed on Friday night by a local TV news station, and they wanted to talk to some of the captains on the team. He said, don't talk to the captains. Don't put them in the middle of this. Talk to me. I'm the coach. And so they did. I'll start with you as the parent in the room. How do you feel about all of this?
Well, what brought them into the conversation is the world, their experience, their view of what's happening in the country and in their community. Paying attention to what's going on is what brought them into the conversation, and they made their decision to do what they do to try to further the important conversations that were started around the time. Well, they started before Kaepernick, but they have continued since Kaepernick took his action.
And when it comes to the World of Inquiry team, 18 players kneeling, and they're not all African-American. I mean, we have a real cross-section of community, right, Michael?
It's a wonderful cross-section of our community. It's a great example of what we have here in the city of Rochester. There are African-American, Puerto Rican, East, West, and North African, Asian immigrants as well, a couple white kids on the team. It's just a great cross-section of our community is represented on the team.
Let me just ask the players then to kind of work me through how it started. Do you guys remember whose idea was it, how it kind of got formed here?
Well, the idea was kind of bounced around in the conversation that I had earlier with Mike here. And I introduced the idea to the team because I felt pretty strongly about it, and I thought it was something that we should maybe consider, you know, because it wasn't really my decision to make, though. I had to ask everyone if they were comfortable with it and, like, what their views were on the situation. And eventually we all came together and decided, you know what, we're going to do it.
So, James, what did your teammates tell you?
Well, a few of my teammates told me that it's not really, like, I'm sorry, how do I put this? In school right now, we have been learning about a bunch of, you know, things going on around the world, like, well, around the United States of America, mm-hmm. about, you know, racial prejudice, not just racial prejudice, but, like, just mistreatment, like police officers abusing their power, their authority with the law. And that's one of the things that was brought up to me, and some of the players felt like that's one thing that we should be protesting against as well, not just what, you know, other people are protesting against.
As Michael said, you have white teammates as well.
Yes, sir.
It's not all African-American players.
Yes, sir.
But everyone agreed on this, yes, James?
Yes, sir.
And did that surprise you at all?
Well, it didn't really surprise me, I wouldn't say. I was kind of, like, stunned that everyone came to a unanimous decision, like, together. But at the end of the day, I always knew that if I saw the issue, then everybody else had to see the issue. And it was just a matter of time that we all came together and took a stand and decided to do something about it.
What did it mean to you that everybody wanted to do it?
That was actually very touching for me. That just seeing so many people, like, we're not all from the same place, so we don't all experience the same thing. So for everyone to just be on the same page, it means a lot, you know.
James, and I know we're going to hear from some listeners this hour. And listeners, you certainly can call the program. We welcome all feedback on this issue of kneeling during the anthem, protests, peaceful protests like this, what it means. If you have questions for these students, three 17-year-old students have taken upon themselves to continue that kind of protest. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Doesn't matter to me what side of the issue you're on, listeners. You want to call in, and they know that. Students know that they may have people who disagree. As long as we are respectful, we can have a conversation about any of these matters this hour. But, James, I'll ask you, and then I'll ask you, your teammates the same question. I know you've heard from people who say that this hurts them, that they are people who have served this country, veterans, that to see someone kneel during the anthem and to purposely not show what they perceive to be a full respect for the anthem and the flag hurts them. What do you say to them?
Personally, the way I see it, and I feel like the way that most people in America should see it, is the veterans that go to war for this country, they go so that our country can have equality and justice and freedoms for all ethnicities, no matter where you're from, because everybody can be, you know, a citizen of the United States. And if they're fighting and risking their lives for everyone, for every citizen to have freedom and justice and equality, yet the government isn't respecting that, then what are they really fighting for, you know? Like, we didn't do this to disrespect the troops. That was not our intentions. And to see those comments like that, it kind of, like, it irked me a little bit. But at the same time, that is how people feel. I don't have the right to tell them how to feel or tell them what they can say. So I just have to respect whatever they think.
Okay. One more question, and I'll turn it over to your teammates. They're letting you do all the heavy lifting early on here, James. You know, what do you say to the critics who've said, okay, there may be some real important conversations to have on the question of police-community relations, equality, but you guys are 17, and some of the critics say you don't have the life experience to make a protest against the flag of the anthem. What do you say to them?
Well, I personally have had an experience when I have felt a little harassed by the police. Do you mind if I elaborate?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. There was a trip a while back that our club team, Flower City, took to Cleveland, Ohio. And we were at a game, and we were leaving the game. And as we tried to cross the street to get to where we were going, we were stopped by police officers, white police officers. And they didn't really explain the situation to us, like, in a way that we could understand. But the team was predominantly black, you know. Well, not black, but, like, mixed, not white. Mm-hmm. And we were told to stop. We were told we couldn't go forward. We were, like, just stopped. And after a while, some white people also tried to take the same route that we attempted to take, and they were just allowed to go through. And, like, that was something that I looked at as, like, that's ignorant to me. Because if there's equality, then how come we didn't have the opportunity to go where we were going, but they went without any question, you know? And that's something that kind of, like, it hurt me.
Miguel, how do you feel about the criticism about students saying, too young? You know, how do you feel when you're taking a knee in that kind of moment?
Well, I personally think you're never too young to speak out against injustice. An 8-year-old can speak out against injustice just as much as an 80-year-old can. It's not about age. It's about what you've experienced as, you know, an individual. If, say, a white person lives to be 80 years old and he always lives out in Fairport and, you know, some of the nice suburbs, he can't. Just because he lives longer than, say, an 8-year-old boy who lives in deep in the inner city and experiences any form of racism, is the 80-year-old man able to speak on that more than the 8-year-old boy? No, because it's a matter of experience. I say to the people who think we're being disrespectful to veterans, as James said, veterans are dying so we can express all our rights, not just some of them. We are very thankful, and we're very, we love our country. You know, this is why we're doing it, because we believe our country can be held to a better standard, one where police don't harass us and don't murder us on camera and get paid leave for it. And I think once people start to realize that, then they'll be more sympathetic with our cause.
Okay. And we may have officers listening right now who say, yes, there are inevitably people who do things that they shouldn't do in every profession, but policing is a very difficult and vital community job. And the vast majority of officers care about you, care about all of us, want to protect us. And it hurts, it may hurt them to hear you say, you know, officers are killing citizens, that they feel like you're being a little hard on officers who have a difficult job. What's the message for the officers?
Well, we know the police officer job is difficult. They are also risking their lives every day. But it's very difficult for the police to have well community relations when I've read reports that about 60% of police officers don't live within the city that they serve in.
That's right.
There's a very big, it's very difficult for someone to just come into work every day, you know, come in, be a police officer in Rochester, when they're not living in the community. I think that creates, there's a lack of transparency there. I can't go into a situation where I'm not in all the time if I'm not surrounded by it and expect to be such a major part of that community. I think once police officers start to engage more in the community, start to, you know, realize, like, I'm at a distance. Like, I'm distancing myself from Rochester, and then every day I have to go back into it. I think once they start living within the city more, I think community relations will increase and be better, be more positive. That's the message that we're trying to promote. We're not promoting hate. We're not doing anything violent. We're trying to promote positivity. And, you know, we believe that this city can do better. And we believe that this country can do better. And it starts by coming together, not just, going back out, to the suburbs where they can't really relate to our issues.
Miguel is a soccer player and student at World of Inquiry School. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about their decision to kneel during the anthem. Last Tuesday, there are more games. I'm not updated on your schedule. Are you going to continue with this protest?
Yes. A lot of the players plan to continue the protest. There have been some issues with immigration that some players have decided not to because simply out of fear of deportation or any other issue with their citizenship. And I think that's very disappointing. I think that they're coming to this country so they can have the freedoms, but when they try to use one, such as the freedom of expression, they're shown a possibility of deportation. And even though the possibilities that are rather small, just the possibility in general is kind of disappointing.
Before I get to your phone calls, and John in Rochester, hang right there. I see the phone ring, and we'll continue to bring in your calls throughout the hour. I also just want to talk to Mike Hunter, who is a student at World of Inquiry, but again, plays for a different club team. But your thoughts on the protest? Is this something that that you're either doing? I don't know if your club's involved with games right now. Are you doing the same thing?
This is not really a topic I've discussed with my team.
Okay.
But as far as the 58 team, I do agree with them 100%. I think it's a good cause and a good issue that needs to be rung up, and I think it's something they should stand up for. And if the publicity they're getting right now, and this is really something they're serious about, and I think it could really make a big change in what they're standing up for.
What's your message to the people who think, you know, do you have the life experience to really know that this is a very serious thing, to kneel during the anthem, to kind of make that kind of a statement? Mike, what do you say to those critics?
I mean, if you've ever experienced any type of racial injustice from any type of police or any type of moment where you felt uncomfortable around police or whatever, then I feel you have experience and you have that voice, you have that message or that memory to say something. And if you can relate, at least, all you need to do is be able to relate to it and have a connection to the issue or topic.
Let me go ahead and grab our first phone call. It's John in Rochester. First up, go ahead, John.
I was just wondering if there is, or a question for the students, if there is a divide on the team, if you guys still would have participated in the protest, and also I was just wondering if you guys are planning on or already done anything to help fix the problem.
Hold on, John, can you explain what do you mean by help fix the problem on the back end of that comment?
Like helping to combat, like, police treating people of color, like, unfairly.
You're asking if they are doing something?
Yeah, like, doing, like, a community action or, like, somehow getting involved.
You don't think this is a community action?
Well, no. Like, I think it's a good start because it gets the conversation going. But I'm saying of keeping it going and not just talking about it, but helping to, like, you know, make sure that the right people are in charge and that it stops becoming a problem.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I follow you because these guys are 17. So I mean, you're asking them if they're going to do some more here. I understand. I'm as the host of this program, I'm not taking a position on the protests. I understand them. I understand how some critics feel, maybe not all, but some. But I'm not sure I fully understand, you know, this idea that, you know, they're 17. Are they going to do more? I apologize, John. I am trying to sort of hang in there with you and understand what you're asking them. But
I understand. I mean, like, as far as, for instance, going to, like, a youth center and, like, helping out and stuff like that, or participating in, like, a Black Lives Matter protest, or somehow, like, raising awareness towards politicians or, like, people in police enforcement.
Okay. John, thanks for the phone call. Let me start with the first part of his question, which was, and I'll turn to James Way for that. He's asking, you know, you guys ended up deciding all 18 players came together, players of all races and all backgrounds, including the white players. And he's asking the question that if there was disagreement, would some of the players gone forward with the idea to kneel?
Well, our first thought was that if we were going to do this, we would do it united as a team. So if one of us decides not to do it, none of us were going to do it. And the first time we decided to take the knee, everyone did it. And that right there, as you know, it started something in the media that we did get a lot of love, but at the same time, we got a lot of hate. And we can't really, well, our feelings wouldn't really matter right now because of the fact that it is your right to say whatever you want to say. We can't stop you from saying what you want to say. That's where freedom of expression comes in. So yes, I don't know. The first time, we wouldn't have gone through with it. But as it progressed, people started to realize how they felt about the situation a lot more as more information came in. And the decision was definitely theirs to make. And as you can see now, the whole team is no longer protesting. And the few players that are protesting, they obviously feel a lot stronger about the situation than the players that are not protesting.
Okay. So. And when it comes to the reaction, you mentioned some love but some hate. Have you had some hate?
Well, we have had tons of hate. I've read a few comments on social media that, like, just some people say that our team is predominantly black. That's not true. But yet the comments are so, like, insulting to African Americans. There are words, like, there are hateful words, you know, name calling, just all this ignorant, like, behavior. And yeah, there has been a lot of hate, I guess.
How has that hit you?
Well, it hit me to be weird at first because I thought to myself, if we are allowed to protest according to the First Amendment, we're allowed to protest and we decide to protest peacefully. We're not hurting anyone. We're not disrupting anyone. And we have no intentions of making anyone feel like we disturbed their life or anything like that. Why is it so skeptical to some people that, like, we're doing this? Why is it that we are like looked at to be wrong? Why is it wrong for us to, you know, practice our freedoms, you know? And I guess that's just it. Like, why? Why are we hated? I don't get it.
Miguel, I asked if you guys have felt any of the hate, and you immediately were nodding very quickly. What have you experienced?
Right off the bat, a couple of days after our game versus Aquinas, a student from Aquinas sent me some of the screenshots that she saw on Twitter about, you know, people using the N-word towards us. Just a lot of hate. People, I did a previous interview with Channel 13, and they were telling me to, like, go back where I came from. And it's like, I was born at Highland Hospital. I don't know what they want me to do. It's just, like, as soon as people, we try to bring peace and love to this issue, and we're immediately met with ignorance and hatred. And I think the people who are greeting us with that ignorant hatred obviously just don't relate to our cause enough. They don't experience the racism that people of color in America would experience, and they just seem to be rather ignorant to it. We know this is a delicate matter. It's very delicate, you know. But if we were afraid to make a statement just because we were going to hurt someone's feelings, then we're still going to make the statement. You know, we're trying to bring to light the issue of police brutality and any form of racism. Honestly, this isn't. There's a lot of different types of racism that go on. There's a lot of racial prejudice, as you can see what we were met with. But we're just trying to do what's right. You know, we can't ignore that. We can't pretend like the issue of police brutality isn't an issue when, you know, there's many people of color being killed every day on camera, and people are getting paid leave for that. We need to face the issue. There's no more pretending. There's no more ignoring. And it's time for America to make a change for the better.
I think, Miguel, I think police would say, you know, you're maybe oversimplifying that they're not killing people and then just getting paid leave. That police, when there is anytime a police officer discharges their weapon, let alone when it kills someone, that there is an investigation that they have to take place. That justice means making sure that investigation happens fully before anyone makes a decision. Now, you certainly can argue that you don't always feel like it leads to justice, but I think they may feel like your comment is a little flip, that, you know, that they shoot somebody and they're on paid leave. I think you want a thorough investigation.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I'm not trying to say, like, oh, police officers will just walk up to a car and start firing, because obviously that's not the case. But there's already a fixed mindset within police forces. They are overly aggressive. Even if they're not firing their weapon, they're already overly aggressive. I believe we need to demilitarize the police. That would be a first step. I believe the police need to be more involved in their community. And I'm not trying to say, you know, that all police officers are bad, but there's already a fixed mindset within the police force. We want more transparency. I believe President Obama was calling for police departments, the 18,000 or so police departments, to show more statistics of their policing in general. And so far, about only 53, I believe less than 100, have gone for it and done so. You know, police are citizens as well, and they're different from us given their profession. But they need to be held to the same standards as every other citizen. They're not above the law. They're supposed to enforce it, and we feel like there has been abuse of the power that the police officers have.
We've jammed the phones. Let me try to get a few phone calls through here. Andrew in Rochester is a veteran, right, Andrew?
Hi, yeah, great show, and I'm a veteran. I spent 4 years in the U.S. Navy. I was in Beirut, Lebanon, when they blew up the Marine Corps with barracks. And why I'm calling is I'm really proud of these guys. Since I went to 20 countries on a U.S. Navy ship, and I saw that most of the world's really poor, and there's a lot of bad stuff happens around the world, and there's a lot of bad stuff, including racism, that happens here in our country, and I'm not blind to it. And if you just, let me just say this, when this, how do you say his name, Kaepernick?
Kaepernick, yep.
When he first started doing this, I grew up playing all sports, but as an adult, I don't even watch football, and I would say the majority of our country, that's what they do to hide from these problems. They watch sports. They don't even want to know what's going on around them, especially something to do with what these young men are talking about, racism. So instead of paying attention to the problem, they hide inside these sports, and if you've ever been to, say, a Buffalo Bills football game, the last one I was at was like 10 years ago, and I saw thousands and thousands of drunk people screaming profanities. and, you know, the last thing on their mind was patriotism, trust me. So the last thing I want to say is, in society, anytime any rights have been or wrongs have been righted, whether it's civil rights, women's rights, animal rights, stopping the Vietnam War, it's always been a small group of people who put their necks on the line and let their voices be heard. And most of the people are sheep. They don't do that. And actually, they just watch sports. So I'm proud of these guys, and I hope what they're doing now, and they're well-spoken, they take into the future as they become young adults and pay attention to all problems around the world and let their voices be heard. And I don't think there's any, and I serve my country so people could peacefully protest. So that's my two cents, and this veteran's proud of you guys.
All right, Andrew, thanks very much. In fact, we've heard a number of emails from him, and Kathy just wrote an email, same thing. I taught for 30 years in Rochester City High Schools, and I honor their courage and hope many people will learn from their critical takes on this. My sincere gratitude. I'm sorry, that's from Valerie. And Kathy wanted to write in and just say these young men should be praised for their bravery in taking a peaceful stand. So let me just ask the dad on the panel, Michael. You know, you heard Miguel, your son, talking about some of the social media postings. Go back where you came from, that thing. How does that hit you as a father who's watching a 17-year-old son deal with that?
Well, initially, I would say I've known these boys and some of the other boys on the team for years, and I am just so proud of them at this point as to how they're able to articulate the issues, how they express their feelings, and how they've explained how they've decided to act. I have seen a lot of the terrible things that people have said about them. But I am convinced that if each of those people just were able to sit down and talk to the young men and listen to the issues and have an easy exchange, then I think there would be a coming together with regard to that. And that's even the people who have said some really awful things. It was great to hear the comments of the veteran who just called. I have received far more positive feedback from various forums. The young men had trained with a military veteran who was a former Marine drill sergeant. They trained with them doing cross training, and he called me up last night and said how proud he was to see what they were doing as someone who has gone to war to maintain these freedoms.
But Michael, what do you say to the veterans? And certainly I take the point. You know, Andrew's phone call is an illustration that, you know, you can't just say veterans are against this, veterans are for this. Everyone's got a different viewpoint.
Exactly.
But I know you have heard from veterans who are offended or at least hurt by this. And what do you say as the father of this young man, this member of the team that's doing it, what do you say to the veterans who've expressed a different point of view, Michael?
Well, like I said, listen to the young men. Listen to what they're saying. Don't presume to know why they're doing it. I've seen a lot of that. Oh, they're just doing it to be cool. Oh, they're just doing it to get attention. They don't really understand what they're doing. I've heard a lot of that, too. But I think anybody, a veteran maybe, I've heard also a lot of people saying, well, they should choose a different form. But to me, if a protest isn't causing some discomfort in someone, it's not a very effective protest. And I failed to see how they're not being effective considering how much discussion both Kaepernick generated and how much discussion they've generated. There's going to be people on all sides, but if we can all be respectful of each other and avoid the insults that sometimes social media lends to, I think we can all come to a better understanding of why they're doing it and perhaps lead to some more organization to lead to maybe reassessment of use of force policies and police forces across the country. They don't have the ability to go in and tell the chief of police to change their use of force policy, but perhaps if there's enough social movement behind it, the police forces and hopefully the police unions will come to understand that we have to find better ways of de-escalating situations rather than escalating them.
All right, let me get our only break of the hour and bring in some more voices. Our phone lines are jammed. You're hearing from Michael Lopez, who is the father of Miguel Lopez. Miguel, Mike Hunter, James Way. They are all students at World of Inquiry School number 58 in Rochester. And the World of Inquiry team, the soccer team, last week had all 18 players take a knee during the national anthem, as we said, following the lead set by 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick as a form of protest against their perception of police brutality against African Americans and their call for more justice. We have since learned from the players that not all players are going to continue in that protest for various reasons, but some of them are. And so let's get our only break of the hour, and we'll continue in this. I think we can be firm and continue to be civil with each other as we continue right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on the next Connections. First hour, we talk to award-winning filmmaker Ken Burns. He's coming to the University of Rochester this Friday for their Melior Weekend. We'll talk about his upcoming projects, including race relations in America. Then in our second hour, speaking of race relations, you've heard about the racist flyers that have been popping up in Pittsford and the response called Pitch Forward. We'll talk to them about sending a message in the community. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Dozens of schools across the country have followed that lead set by Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers. Megan Rapinoe, a white USA women's soccer star, has also done that, saying she wanted to show solidarity. And so I think we're going to probably end up seeing more of this as we go throughout the fall. And what we're doing is we're talking to the players about why they've decided to do that, some of the criticisms that they are dealing with, some of the feedback from you in the community. I want to bring in Todd Baxter, who is the executive director of the Veterans Outreach Center and a former police chief himself. And Todd, I appreciate you taking the time as well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. Awesome show. The kids are doing great. It's a great dialogue.
Well, and Todd, I mean, I suspect that you may have a different perspective that they do. I don't know if you heard earlier. I mean, and I want to set the stage again to make something very, very clear. These players, to a man, we keep calling them boys, but they're really young men now.
Yes,
to a man, they have said they love this country. And what they are trying to do is follow the traditions of the country to express something in a peaceful way, that they respect our military, and that this isn't about insulting our military. But they also understand that some members of the military have felt insulted. Where do you come down on this, Todd?
Well, that's a great point. And first of all, they've done it with as much dignity as they can. I think they showed respect when they kneeled. They weren't loud, boisterous, demonstrative. I think everybody agrees with that. Just from the standpoint of a veteran, I know you had other veterans on, and everybody has their own opinion. And definitely by our Constitution, everybody has a right to protest. I agree 100% with that. Just for the military guy and gal, we've been, if you will, honoring that flag. We go to war for that flag. Our friends' coffins are draped in that flag. It stands for the ultimate freedom. You know, so we take it as a very sacred symbol. Just like we take the President of the United States as a very sacred symbol. Any veteran or any military member that the President crosses paths with will get a hand salute from our military members, just because that's the way we were brought into service of our country, that there's nothing more sacred than that flag and the President and the Commander-in-Chief. So you just got to take that into account, that's a symbol that we take very prideful. Our friends' coffins are draped in that, whether they wear a camouflage uniform or a blue uniform for a local police officer. So just understand that symbol is very, very sacred to the veteran. And that's why, you know, some people take it a little more insulting than other people were. And that's what it was to a lot of veterans, insulting when Colin did his thing and other people are carrying on with it. But that's also a freedom of expression. We've seen it. And my friends have died for that right for these young men and other people to protest as they see fit. But they understand. I've heard them express they understand the potential hurt that's giving on someone else, and that's called protest.
Okay. So, James Way, I started the conversation with you. You know, you're hearing from former Chief Baxter, who I think has had a lot of said a lot of respectful things about the way you guys have been carrying this out, but you're getting that little bit of that pushback on some of the content and the way it impacts. What do you say to that?
Well, like I said earlier, our purpose in this wasn't to disrespect any veterans, and as a militant, I do respect you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I thank you for everything you've done for this country, but at the same time, I feel like what you're fighting for, well, what you and your friends have fought for, is what we are trying to exercise. You know, we're trying to exercise the freedom to express ourselves, and though it may come off to a few people as disrespect, nobody really knows what what we're thinking when we do it. Nobody really can say that we're being disrespectful. Nobody can say that we're doing this to hurt you. Nobody can say that we don't know what we're doing. We're doing it off the influence of somebody else because, well, nobody was really there with us when we had the conversation as a team to do this. So, well.
Yeah, you know what, and that's a great conversation, but the fact is you mentioned the word insulting, and the fact that it is insulting to certain people of the population, so no one's going to tell you that you're insulting, but the person on the receiving end is telling you that that's insulting to us. And again, a protest has to be loud, a protest has to be seen and heard, and you're doing it for your own reason. I'm not questioning that one bit, but just you got to understand it is insulting to the loved ones that have lost their family members, you know, for the freedom, the very freedom you guys are exercising, which is 100% correct. But just understand that I'm looking for a different way. That's all I'm expressing. You got a great point. You got great ability to carry on that conversation with other people. I just don't look at degrading our flag in the proper way. But again, that's your right. Just understand that it is insulting to other people, and you know that. You've already expressed that. And quite common.
Okay. So, and let me also jump in and say, I know there's a lot of people waiting on the phones. I promise we'll get back to your phone calls in just a second. I also want to address, because I got an email from a listener, and I sort of suspected this would happen, saying, you know, it's unfair to put the students in this position. And I just want to once again remind our listeners that James Way, who you've been hearing, Mike Hunter, Miguel Lopez, they're here from World of Inquiry, school number 58, and they're here with Miguel's father, Michael Lopez, who's not only known these guys for a long time, but known them through soccer, known them through life. Michael is here supporting them, an adult on this panel, but I mean, I think, frankly, as we said, these are young men. They are here by choice. We set the ground rules for a respectful conversation. No one is trying to put them in a hard position, but they also know that when they put this protest out in the world, they wanted to make a point, and they expected for it to start a conversation. Now, maybe they didn't expect some of, as James, Mike, and Miguel have told you, some of the social media, some of the racism they've encountered, but they did expect some pushback, some substantive conversation, and I think that's okay, and that's what we're trying to focus on. Let me get back to your phone calls, and this is Jennifer in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. My name is Jennifer, and I work with Mike Lopez at the Public Defender's Office, and I listen every day. Evan, we've talked before.
Well, nice to talk to you, Jennifer.
Yep.
They don't let me know who's calling here. We don't plant calls, but go ahead.
And I just wanted to tell the boys that they have a lot of support in this community and that I'm very proud of them, and I'm really sorry for all the negative feedback that they get and that not everybody feels that way. And I come from a family of veterans also that fought for their country so that they could do what they're doing. And I just want to let them know how proud I am of them, and that they should keep doing what they're doing, and that they're doing a really good thing, and they should be proud of themselves.
Jennifer, thank you for that. On the flip side of that, here's an email from, hold on a second, let me pull it up here. A listener named David who just says, Evan, I admit I don't understand the protest because I feel like police are given too much grief for a very, very hard job, and I just wish they would find another way to do it, some other way to peacefully protest because the flag means so much to me. So that's from David. So different point of view. So let's kind of hit it both ways here. And I'll go to the father at the table first. And again, Todd Baxter's on the line with us from the Veterans Outreach Center. But Michael Lopez, David's email says, sort of forget the content of the protest, which he says he doesn't understand. But he says, are there other ways that this could happen? You know, if your son, if the students came to you and said, what do you think, Mr. Lopez? Should we find another way to do this?
Well, if they sit in a room by themselves and take a knee, then it's certainly not bringing much public attention to it. I think the boys are aware that at their school, or in their team is a pretty decent soccer team. They've been in the news a little bit for that, and people will pay attention. And to me, it seems like it's a successful protest if it's causing people to discuss it. Now, I know in terms of the flag, however, the flag does not just represent the military. The flag represents the country, and the country is supposed to represent democracy, freedom of speech, and all the other freedoms in our Constitution. And it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, people can be insulted, but I think it's more insulting to not honor the Constitution and the freedoms. To me, it is wonderful to see that these young people, instead of just watching, I don't know, school fights on videos and the Kardashians and staring at a video game are thinking about what's going on in the world and will take this experience and carry it on into college and beyond and be active and productive members of our community. And plus, I think it would be helpful to note that they all have former teammates of theirs. There's one who's a active duty in the Marines. James has two family members who are active duty in the Army. And they have the support of those active duty members of the military because they know that this is what this country is about, that protest is sometimes necessary to make things better. I mean, this country, I mean, I'm trying to think of if in the Boston Tea Party, should they have all found, I'm sure the British thought that they should find something, some other way of doing it. The people who don't like the message are always trying to find, denigrate by saying, do something else. But if they had taken that tact, we would have never had the Boston Tea Party.
All right. So Todd Baxter, you know, you're among the folks who've said, you know, this is a protest. Whether you agree with it or not, you would have liked to see another way. Our emailer David said the same thing, that this pains him, that he'd like to see another way. And Michael Lopez is saying when that comes up, it's generally a way because people don't like the message at all, and there's no way that they'd really like. You know, what do you say to that, Todd?
Yeah, I'm looking for more specificity. I understand. Again, I appreciate these kids. I concur with most of what he said. I cannot believe that these kids are this engaged like most kids are not nowadays, and they have a cause and are fighting for that cause and are doing it with a lot of respect. The specificity, though, is America in general and all the great things we have going in this country and the sacrifices people are making every day for all the Americans, or is it police-community relations? If it's police-community relations or it's racism, let's talk about those issues. Let's protest those issues, and let's get some specificity. The energy that these guys are putting forward, let's play that off that, and let's get these police relationships going. Person to person are the way these relationships are built, and cross-communication. They've expressed a lot of great opinions. But have they heard the other side? Have they talked to police officers? Have they rode with police officers? And I know Mr. Lopez, obviously, is involved in the criminal justice system, so I'm not speaking on his behalf. But where I'm going here is specificity. To bring down a country or a flag or a national anthem that we all find so sacred is insulting. And that's my only point there, is I'd rather see specificity and get more with honey than with vinegar. If you've got a problem with a certain part of society, let's go and let's address that. As opposed to addressing the American flag as a whole, it's too sacred to a lot of people. That's my point, and I understand. I'm with you, Mr. Lopez. I'm excited these kids are engaged. I think it's definitely a profound change for most of American kids. I would think I'd like to see more engaged.
Now, when it comes to Todd's point, there, guys, you know, you've had some very tough things to say about policing in your own, sometimes your own experience, as James mentioned, sometimes. In what you've observed around this country. But Todd is saying, you know, as a member who's been in the law enforcement, built his career on it, he would love to see you guys say, let's ride along, let's reach out, let's get together, let's try to wait, you know, sort of bridge some of these gaps here. Miguel, what do you think?
Well, first of all, it's important to bring the issue to light in the first place, because I know there's a lot of people out there who don't even think this problem exists. And for us taking a knee during National Anthem, as my father said, it wouldn't mean a lot if we did it in a room. But given that our team has gotten, you know, some media attention, you know, we won sectionals back-to-back. We were the first state team to ever go to the state championship. Soccer is our platform, just like football was Colin Kaepernick's platform. I believe if he took a knee, you know, doing a different action that wasn't his platform, that wasn't being with the 49ers, he wouldn't have received as much media attention as he did when he did it the first time. It was at a football game where thousands of people are watching. We did our soccer game because that's where we have our platform. You know, we're trying to bring light to the issue, and we can't do that as much if we're doing it as an individual.
But sure, Todd is saying, though, you want people to listen. You're using your platform in a way that you absolutely have a right, and it's making an impact. And you want people to listen. He's asking if you will then listen to law enforcement to follow up and say, okay, we've heard you. Will you listen to us? Will you ride along with us? Can we talk more?
Certainly. We will 100% listen to what police officers and law enforcement professionals have to say, because we want a better, not just what we think. We want better the relationship between the law enforcement and the people. We want to see what police officers have to say. We want to see their point of view, so that way we can take both sides and move forward in an educated, peaceful manner. We know that policing is an extremely difficult job. It's probably got to be one of the most difficult jobs in the world. And if there's any police officers that, you know, would want to come to our school or, you know, talk to us personally, we would 100% support that because we want to move forward in a peaceful manner and we want to, you know, raise America to a better standard because we feel like policing is very aggressive. We feel like there needs to be some reforms and we feel like once we take the proper steps to go forward, then community relations between the people and the police will start to get a lot better.
All right, so Todd and our guests in the studio are not going to agree on everything, but at least it sounds like there we've got some willingness to dialogue to get together. Better than nothing, right, Todd Baxter?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it all starts person to person. The more people we can engage with each other and understand each other, the more understanding when these volatile situations kick up, we'll have just a little bit of better understanding of each other and not realize that the other class or the other people, the other uniforms are all the bad people. Just when we come to generalizing organizations or people, you know, we get in trouble that way. So, you know, the more time we can spend together and look at each other as individuals.
All right, let me try to squeeze in a few more of your comments here because we're overloaded. Rick in Geneva. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, this is actually in response to the police getting involved in their communities. I think it's a great idea. The reason, though, that most of, I am in law enforcement myself, the reason most of us don't live in the cities we work in is for safety reasons, for our own protection. no one likes getting arrested. No one likes being pulled over. And a lot of times what happens is when the clientele figure out where we live, we find that we are often attacked or harassed on a personal level at home. Your families get threatened. You find nails in the end of your driveway, crazy things like that, or they take it a step further and we've had people have death threats at their homes. So a lot of us tend to live away from where we work out of self-defense, out of protection, because even being a law enforcement myself, nobody likes getting pulled over. Nobody likes getting, getting their car checked out. I've had it happen to me. It's not pleasant. And so I completely agree. Something needs to change where law enforcement does need to somehow connect with the community. But you got to keep an open mind and realize that not everybody sees police in a respectful manner that you guys do. Not everyone is going to accept us with open arms and say, we're willing to work with you. A lot of people are filled with animosity and hatred, and whether that's due to a long, nasty history and past between police and public relations, I'm not sure how it all started. I just know that there's a lot of tension, and I would say police are all actually kind of, I don't want to speak for everybody, but say almost afraid to engage with the public or even, you know, say, I know most of my friends in law enforcement, myself included, we don't openly tell people that we're in law enforcement because it's not what it once was. It's not like people look at you and say, oh, cool, thanks for your service.
Well, I'll say it, Rick. So thanks for calling and thanks for your service. And guys in studio, any response to Rick's point there? Anybody want to jump in? I'll follow your lead here. Miguel, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, just I can agree that no one likes being pulled over or arrested. And I think one term that comes to mind when you know people are getting pulled over, it's broken window policing. People are being pulled over for a very minute infraction, such as a broken taillight or like a busted windshield, and well, not busted completely, but you know, small fractures that can escalate, such as Sandra Bland in Texas. And I feel some reform should be made there. You know, you don't have to pull someone over for a broken taillight. You can, you know, for example, take a picture. You know, send them a ticket. You know, you had a broken taillight. There's just small things that we can be doing. There's just small reforms that we can make that can reduce the tension between the police and the public. And I know it can be very. There's a lot of ignorant people out there who, you know, will automatically assume all police are bad. And we personally don't believe that. We know there's a lot of very good police officers who go out there and protect and serve their country every day. But we feel like if there are some reformations made to policing as a whole, you know, such as the broken window policing, mm-hmm. then we can remove some of the tension. And if we continue to promote peace and equality, we continue to promote, you know, good relations and open dialogue, then we can remove some of the hatred and ignorance that police receive, and we can remove some of the attention that police have towards people.
James, if you want to follow up, about 30 seconds, go ahead, because I'm running tight on time. I know James Way wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, I understand that some law officials may move away from the city because of safety, you know, repercussions. Like you said, there are going to be threats. There are going to be people that don't like you. But and through history, problems haven't really been solved by people moving away. You know, people have had to come together as a unity and, you know, like make an informed decision and decide to move forward, you know. So moving away wouldn't necessarily be the best issue for the economy. It may be the best, the best result.
Yes,
for the community.
All right, let me let Todd Baxter jump in because we're running out of time. Todd, about 30 seconds. Final thoughts from you. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, listen, I've policed the city of Rochester and the town of Greece for 26 years, and I have a lot of honor and respect for those cops. Personally, I've wrestled guns away from people that I probably under Article 35 would have been justified to shoot, and a lot of cops would tell you that story that most often they would not pull the trigger. They try everything else. And so I wish we'd just get all these great people into one room once in a while and just have these dialogues about what's it feel like to wrestle a cop away from a kid that you could have, but you don't shoot, and let them understand there's many variations of what law enforcement is doing out there. And I so much appreciate their dialogue, and I think it's time to take the next step and let's use it productively.
More than anything, what I appreciate is the fact that we've got someone like Todd Baxter who may not agree or even feel wounded by what he's seen with these guys, but we're having a dialogue. Todd, let's keep it up, and thank you for taking the time for the show.
Thank you.
And also with us in studio, Michael Lopez. I know you're a proud dad. You smile a lot at your son in the comments that these guys have made here. So thank you for being here. Thanks for at least having this conversation. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you to the boys.
Mike, Miguel, James, thank you for standing up and at least talking to us about this and at least continuing this dialogue. So let's continue that dialogue
thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to Connections, and we'll talk with you Wednesday on Member Supported Public Radio.